And good evening. You've just tuned in to Thursday Night Talk on KHSU. Tonight, Lorna Bryant is our host on the newest episode of The Race Beat. You can also catch our program tonight on KHSU's Facebook page, where we are streaming it live.
Well, good evening and welcome to Thursday Night Talk, The Race Beat, a place for in-depth discussions about race, culture, and identity. Through conversations and understanding, we will discover our differences really aren't so different. February is Black History Month. It began as Negro History Week and as created by Carter G. Woodson in 1926. It became a month-long celebration in 1976. Music is an integral component of Black history, from hidden messages of freedom and spirituals to the call and response, syncopation, to jazz, modern jazz, blues, and soul. This evening, we will explore some of that music. Joining me tonight are Letty Dyer and Paula Jones. Letty is a relative newcomer to this community, but she brings with her a wealth of musical knowledge and talent. And Paula has settled into this community a little bit longer and has displayed her talent as part of the RLA band and occasional vocalist with Arcata Interfaith Gospel Choir. Paula and Letty, welcome.
Thank you. It's such an honor to be here, Lorna.
So let's start with a full introduction from both of you. Letty or Paula, why don't you start with your musical background and just tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, I think if I were to talk about my musical background, I'd have to talk about living in the parsonage above the sanctuary of my father's church, New Hope Baptist Church. He was the late, great Reverend Asbury Paul Jones, master's in theology, a great teacher in the Sacramento area, and I can remember being a small child listening to my father's compositions with these haunting melodies. The melodies were very haunting, and they would filter up to that second floor, and it gripped my soul as they would moan and worship and cry and sing.
That says it all, definitely.
Yeah.
What about you, Letty?
My background is interesting. I start playing by ear at 2, piano. And at 6 years old, my grandmother bought me a piano. And there's a song she taught me how to play by ear. Interestingly enough, my mother paid for lessons for my sister, and after the lessons, I would play every song that the teacher had taught her. And so the teacher kind of said, you know, I think you're giving the lessons to the wrong girl. From there, I kind of took off and learned to read music at 7, went to Cal Berkeley at 11, went to Cal Arts, and I've kind of been doing this kind of all my life.
So, Paula, you sing.
Yes.
And Letty, you play.
Yes.
And tonight, we're going to do a little bit of both. I am neither a singer or a player of piano or any other musical instrument. But if the spirit moves me, I may join in.
All right.
So let's talk about the significance and the importance of music in our lives as African Americans, as individuals. What does the culture of our music, what's the significance of it to you, Paula?
The significance of our music is the survival element. Slaves had to survive such oppressive, cruel treatment, and through song and through laughter, which is so indigenous to Black people, we'll crack up and make a joke about something that can be so serious. And it has helped us to be uplifted, and it has helped us to endure.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So through our song, even when they would holler in the fields, oh, Jesus, then somebody across the field would holler back, oh, this was a form of communication that was very, very powerful.
That call and response.
Absolutely.
Do either of you know the song, Oh Lordy, Pick a Bale of Cotton?
Ooh, haven't heard that one in a while.
Oh Lordy, pick a bale of cotton.
Oh Lordy, pick a bale of hay. Oh Lordy, pick a bale of cotton. Oh Lordy, pick a bale of hay.
So, I mean, that song in itself, I mean, it's working music, mm-hmm, but the
it
rhythm.
It was motivating. You're out there working. They were working and pick a bale of cotton. You were doing that all day. So you needed something to motivate you. Singing was just that. As Paula said earlier, a lot of times we could make a joke out of almost anything. And I found in my house, we could make a song out of anything.
Pots, pans, wall, hand bone your thigh.
Ham bone.
Oh, that's the one of the best.
Let me do a little ham bone. Oh, ham bone, where you been? Around the world and back again. A ham bone walking and a ham bone talking. Oh, ham bone eating with a knife and a fork. Oh, he went through the woods just beating his drum. He beat so loud the policemen come. Oh, policemen, policemen, don't arrest me. Arrest that man behind the tree.
So we usually don't bang on the tables during radio programming, but this was appropriate.
And they would bang on their bodies.
Yes.
They would hit their thigh.
Yes.
They would make instruments out of maybe something that had grooves in it, and they just take a stick.
The washboard.
The washboard.
The gourd. Anything that was possible.
Anything.
Making something out of nothing.
Yes.
And the richness of music has grown from that, from, like I said, blues, gospel, jazz. All of that came out of those times that start back, actually, in Africa, with the drums and other instruments that we have taken from Africa and brought to America, and maybe changed it a little bit or altered and modernized it in some ways, but it has shaped all of the music.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Beating that tambourine, you know, in the Pentecostal church is the heart many times, and it just brings in the spirit.
Absolutely.
Bringing in the spirit.
Yes, it does.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You don't even have to have a piano and the organ. If you just have that good tambourine player.
Yeah.
And then that get clapping going.
Yeah.
Well. Over that Jordan, gonna make it. Over that Jordan, make it.
You don't need words. You don't need instruments. Just a little bit of wailing and moaning.
Wailing and moaning.
Wailing and moaning. Moaning.
Let's talk about that a little bit. My origins are in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Not much, a lot of wailing and moaning that goes on, but in the Baptist church and in the Pentecostal church in African-American communities, wailing and moaning is something that is prevalent. How about one of you describing wailing and moaning a little bit?
It might be easier for me to do it this way.
Be good to me. You've been good to me. I was just here sitting thinking about, looking back over my life. And Lord,
that's how they do it. Just that simple. Something just that easy. They're sitting thinking about, Lord, you brought me through my life. And they may go into something like that. They didn't need any particular beautiful sound. They were drawing on an experience, their life.
So, Paula, why don't you add a little moan into what Letty just did?
Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Why don't you hold me with your powerful hand? Oh, bread of heaven, I want you to feed me, feed me, till I want no more. So much emotion. The music is very emotional. When you listen to gospel music, you should be moved. Your body, your heart, your spirit, your soul, suddenly you're transformed just by listening.
And you don't have to be religious. You don't have to believe in God. It's just a feeling that goes along with the music. And it fills your spirit.
Yes.
And fills your soul and drives you to sing along a little bit. Although I'm not going to. So I'm going to ask Michael, our engineer, to play a clip of one of those field songs that kind of display what is sung in the fields during slavery and during that era.
You turn around, dig a hole in the ground. Ho, am I, ho. Ho, am I, ho. You turn around, dig a hole in the ground. Ho, am I, ho. Say, Emma, you from the country. Ho, am I, ho. You turn around, dig a hole in the ground.
To pull these weeds.
Ho, Emma, ho. You turn around, dig a hole in the ground. Ho, Emma, ho.
Emma works harder than two grown men.
Ho, Emma, ho. You turn around, dig a hole in the ground. Ho, Emma, ho. Ho.
So I don't have the full historical background of that song, mm-hmm. but that was a perfect display of the call and response. They were motivating Emma, and they might have even been sharing a secret with Emma that the caretakers may not have understood. Mm-hmm. So there might have been a message there saying, Emma, you dig a hole, and we have something hidden there for you that will help you to freedom. Mm-hmm. That is the beauty of our music.
Oh, yeah.
So, Letty, earlier we were talking about one of those songs that aided in offering secret messages mm-hmm. As a passage to freedom. One of those songs in particular, Follow the Drinking Gourd.
Yes.
Do you know the story of the song, Follow the Drinking Gourd?
Not fully. My son, in the third grade, I remember he sang the song, and I did a little research way back then, but I do know it was a song they were giving the other slaves, they were telling them the passage, the correct passage to take, or the correct path to take.
The drinking gourd was the Big Dipper.
That's right.
And you follow the direction of the Big Dipper.
That's right.
And that leads you to freedom.
That's what they said. That's awesome. Right. Yeah. Also, I was studying, and it was saying that in Swing Low, Swing Chariot, you know, there's no, I looked over Jordan per se, but they were talking about the Mississippi back then. I looked over Jordan, but, you know, they were given the message, coming for to carry me home. That was their secret message to the other slaves. We're going to be going on over, not over Jordan, but
over the Mississippi.
Over the Mississippi.
To carry you home to freedom land.
To carry you to freedom.
And I think the beauty and the one of the things that is overlooked was the high intelligence of these slaves and Africans, that they were extremely brilliant in mind.
Yes.
That they were, you know, devising all types of things that were going to help them, and just wouldn't give up.
Absolutely.
Would not give up.
Would not.
Just continue to persevere, and that was the beauty also of their strength.
You would never think of nails or holes in the ground as a message, but stops on the Underground Railroad, it might have been a church. And a wood floor church.
Yes.
And the directions of the planks in the church, or the nails that are hammered, have secret messages. The nails may be directed in the form of an arrow. You just, to the untrained eye, you would have no idea that those nails in the ground in this church meant something.
Absolutely.
But it meant freedom for others who were following the path of the nails and the directions of the nails in the Underground Railroad. In South Carolina, the Gullah Gullah Islands, the style of call and response is remarkable. There's a woman by the name of Melanie Damore. She is a Gullah Gullah singer and a stick pounder. She comes to this community frequently. She was here last year, and she gives lessons on the pounding of the stick and
stick.
The significance of the stick.
Absolutely.
And how it goes back to Western Africa.
That's amazing.
Yes, yes. If you're just tuning in, this is Thursday Night Talk, The Race Beat. I'm Lorna Bryant, and joining me in the studio this evening on vocals, Paula Jones, and on piano and vocals, Letty Dyer. If you'd like to join us in conversation, you can call 826-4805, 800 number 640-5911, or you can text your question or comment at 707-492-KHSU. That's 492-5478. So we've talked a little bit about spirituals and early gospel music. Then you have the likes of Sister Rosetta Thorpe. So I'm I guess I can still call myself a youngin'. I feel like it. But I mean, Sister,
we're all youngins.
Yes, exactly.
We're all youngins.
So,
yes, ma'am.
So I have limited knowledge about Sister Rosetta Thorpe, but I know she was considered to be the creator of rock and roll music. She played a guitar, and I think it started with gospel, though.
Absolutely. So if you want to go back to gospel, you've got to talk about Thomas Dorsey.
Now, he is the father.
He's the father.
He's the father.
He's the father because he, as they would have said, went into the world and began a style that was a little more bluesy And then he speaks about having an experience.
Yes.
He speaks about God whispering to him. And so he goes back into the church and he starts to arrange things for people like Bessie Smith prior to going back to the church. But this awakening of his style is what brought about people like Albertina Walker.
Absolutely.
You know, we've got to talk about yes. her coming out of Chicago,
that's
you
right.
know, and her style, and Claire Ward, and, you know,
the Ward singers.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
So this was a different style coming into the church, and it was a good sound that, of course, has progressed all the way up to where we are today.
Yes.
But you have to talk about Tony.
You
Gracie
have
too.
Absolutely. You have to. And along with that, you have also, it's interesting because remember, music was developing. You had the jazz and the blues and the spirituals. Mm-hmm. So as she was saying, you had Albertina Walker and Clara Ward. So they took us to the James Clevelands and then the Shirley Caesars, who took that style just a little bit further. They took it a little higher because they started adding more harmony, more
Absolutely.
Instruments.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know.
And then you go to more contemporary gospel, where it's almost it's tinged with R&B and hip-hop and the likes of Kirk Franklin and Ty Tribbett and
Israel Hodden.
Yes.
And before them, we had Andre Crouch. We had
Walter Hawkins.
The Hawkins, absolutely.
Yes. Tremaine Hawkins.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Going up yonder.
Oh. Yes.
Oh. Oh, take it away.
Take it away.
That's homegrown gospel music by way of the Bay Area.
Yeah,
Andre
yes,
Crouch.
Yeah. Those boys were having a great old time,
absolutely.
You know, gathering around the piano and coming up with these wonderful creations.
Yes. And speaking of Walter Hawkins, was, wasn't he the first to contemporary rise music, gospel music, and it crossed over to the R&B world and
Absolutely.
Made commercial success. What song?
Oh, Happy Day.
Oh, Happy Day.
They played that all.
Yes.
They just played it. Oh, it was on the top charts.
Yes.
Absolutely. And we had never had that before.
Letty.
Oh, Happy Day. Happy day,
oh happy day,
when Jesus walked,
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 he washed my sins away,
oh happy day,
oh it was a happy day,
oh happy day,
he taught me how to watch, fight and pray, fight and pray, and live rejoicing every day.
Every day.
Ha 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 ha! I wanted to do that, but I don't have the stylings of the two of you. Man.
That was simple. That was when it was first.
Yes.
Dorothy Morrison wrote that, and that's when Edwin and Walter started putting it out there. But that was very simple harmonies.
Yes, yes.
Now, most songs are written in the key flats because it's easy. You don't have anything difficult to do. But everything is a jazz band now.
So let's go to, like, modern. Do you know Why We Sing, Kirk Franklin?
Someone asked the question, why do we sing when we lift our hands to Jesus? What do we really mean? I sing because I'm happy.
All right now.
I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sphere. That's the reason why I sing.
Now that's one of the more. But then you have, this is one of the newer young men.
Just for today, and always, now and forever, Lord, I praise your name.
So it's more catchy, flavorful.
Yes. Flashy.
Flashy. Yeah. Yeah. As a 40-year gospel musician in churches, I've seen it go from Sunday school, yes, Jesus loves me, to jazzy, I praise your name.
I've even heard in conservative Seventh-day Adventist church, you have a lot of secular musicians who moonlight in the church. So I've heard the choir singing, and all of a sudden you'll hear the organist in the middle of a gospel song riff off of Not Just Knee Deep by Parliament Funkadelic.
Right.
And that's, you know, it's a common thing. It's a lovely common thing. And, you know, the really good, staunch Christian church moms, they have no idea. But the 18-year-old person who was in the club the night before church service,
absolutely,
they recognize the sound.
Absolutely.
I've had a few of those moments. I have, at the time when I was playing for churches in the Bay Area, I had teenagers.
Yes.
And so, of course, I'd throw in a riff or two every now and then.
Oh, yeah. So can I share a little secret about you, Paula, and you, Letty, to our listening audience?
Please.
Not a bad secret.
Yes.
When did you meet each other?
2 days ago.
So, to the listening ear, you would have no idea that these two consummate professional musicians just met each other. But the beauty of musicianship and professionalism and just knowledge in music, you guys are vibing with each other like you've been rehearsing and practicing and playing for a long time. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
With that, I want to thank you for joining me.
Thank you so
definitely.
Much. Yeah, it's really been a joy. There really is no distance. There's only love, really. There's only love.
Yes.
And so when we see one another, we know one another by our love.
Yes. Absolutely.
And that is what makes the familiarity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's that love one for another.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Looks like we do have a caller on the line. Let's see. Oh, well, we'll hold for a minute. So it's beautiful first, I'd like to thank the Humboldt State University Music Department because they set up this 88-key keyboard. that Letty is playing this evening, and she is heating up those keys quite nicely, and Paula is definitely accompanying her vocally. So I think we have a caller on. We have Jane from Arcata, I believe it is. Jane, welcome to Thursday Night Talk, the Race Beat. What is your question or comment?
Hi. So this is Jane.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, Jane.
I'm just calling to say that I'm really happy to hear that you're covering this beautiful show with these beautiful women who celebrate music and Black History Month. And I want to say that, you know, hold on, I'm going to turn my radio down.
Thank you.
You know, I think my question is that, like, you know, I once spoke with a friend about, like, cultural appropriation. And this friend of mine, whose name I won't mention, talked about, like, that issue of cultural appropriation, and yet she was in a band that covered largely girl groups that were from the 60s. Black girl groups, and she was a white girl. And I said, well, how is it okay that, you know, you feel all right about covering songs by black girl groups as a white woman, but yet you have a problem with these other specific issues of cultural appropriation? and so, you know, anyway, what I really want to say is that, you know, Lorna, yes, I have come to know you. And Paula, yes, I have come to know you. And, you know, recently, Paula, you were in my store, and we listened to a lot of different music, and we dance together, and we sing together, and I think you're just amazing. And, you know, you had just as much appreciation for Lady Gaga covering a Stevie Wonder song in a Stevie Wonder tribute show, ceremony, whatever you want to call it. And I just want to talk about that. Like, you know, I mean, I said to my friend, you know, so am I not supposed to sing a soul song? Am I not allowed?
Jane, you're awesome,
like,
girl. Don't even start with that mess. You just,
yeah,
you are.
I know, Paula, you are the epitome. I know, girl.
You are the epitome of understanding, and that is what is lacking in so many situations. I'm over it.
Yeah.
At some point, you let go. And you relinquish your staunchness and understand that we are all sisters and brothers.
Amen.
Of all races, all creeds, all colors. At some point, this epiphany comes to you. And I've sat next to you on the piano and heard you sing. And you can belt it out. And we belted it out together. So that's what I'm talking about. In regards to copying, this has been going on for years. You look at so many gals that are out there, and they are performing. They are coming from that black slot. They enjoy the sisters and what the sisters can do with their voices. Many times they will try to imitate or copy, or just come into their own style. There's no really appropriate way of approaching music. We do it, whoever you are.
Right.
Yeah.
Jane, thank you for your call. Thank you, Jane.
I love you too, dear.
So I do recall there was a time when they were called Race Records. And during that time, you had the artists like Little Richard playing rock and roll music. But when the album was released, you would see not Little Richard's face. You would see
Mick Jagger's.
Exactly.
Sure.
Or you will see or hear Pat Boone doing the cover of a Little Richard song and kind of taking the soul out of it a little bit and making it more palatable to white audiences in America. That went on for a long, long time. And you had Pat Boone, the likes of Pat Boone, who made tons of money, and the artist who actually recorded the song first, they did not profit from that. Mm-hmm. So appropriation, in that case, that was just outright stealing. But I mean, music is a universal thing. So
I could take it back further. In college, I went to California Institute of the Arts in Valencia. And at the time, there were only 734 students back in 1978. 25 of us were African American. And that's a wonderful feeling to know that I was one of the elite, I must say. And when I think back to it, us 25 had to hold our own. One of my closest friends, David Cherry, his father, Don Cherry. And, you know, we went through and along with the Africans, the African instructors who were the Ghanaians, we did African dance. But we were like a family. Of course, the school had all races from all over the world. And so it just kind of ended up that I learned all of that a long time ago. And the one thing I've always understood, music transcends all barriers.
Yes.
If you close your eyes and listen to music, you don't hear color. You hear music.
Yes. You hear love. You hear beauty. You hear peace.
Yes.
And that is the beautiful, beautiful blessing of this music that we're talking about right now. So I think you want to sing another song, Paula.
I would like to share this song. It's an oldie,
but a goodie.
When Israel was in Egypt land, let my people go. Oppressed so hard they could not stand, let my people go.
Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land, tell all pharaohs to let my people go.
Now, some of our contemporaries listening may know that song from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but there is much larger significance to that song.
Absolutely.
What's the significance of that song
Absolutely.
To you,
Paula? Biblically, we understand that the children of Israel were in captivity in Egypt, and that Pharaoh was in charge, and that he was a cruel taskmaster. And these songs come forth with messages that help us to understand what was going on in that period of time and how it correlates and parallels with what's going on today.
Yes.
It's still going on today.
Absolutely.
And so we are strengthened and we are, you know, excited to know that there's a way out. If everybody will just let go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You know, I often say you can't knock on racism's door. You can't knock on the door and say, hey, racism, can I come in and sit and kick it with you and chill with you? You can't. It's a spirit. You can't do it. So we have to understand where we're coming from.
Absolutely.
Where we are coming from. Absolutely. in these times that we are facing.
Yes, yes, yes. Do you like to add anything to that, Letty?
You know, she says it all. I believe the thing a lot of people need to draw back on a lot of the old songs. You know, a lot of the newer songs, they're wonderful. But the old songs, the words, when you listen to the words and you just feel it, it just gives you peace. And like she said, if we don't go back and get what we used to have, mm-hmm. I kind of say regroup. Mm-hmm. It's got to be lost, and we have to bring it back, because I'll say that a lot of the younger generation, like you said, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Go Down Moses, they don't know it. They don't know. Mm-hmm. So it's for us to enlighten them.
Yes. I've taken my son to, my son is 27, but I've taken him to many, many concerts. Mm-hmm. One of his first concerts was a jazz concert with Hiroshima, a Japanese-infused jazz group.
Oh, yeah.
I've taken him, for his 13th birthday, I took him to see Prince.
Yeah.
And we were in the 8th row, and he had no idea what we were going. He had no idea. We were on the 8th row on the floor.
Awesome.
Prince passed by us in a roadie box, unbeknownst to us, and he was rolled underneath the stage and then came up right in front of us.
Wow.
And he, my son's connection to Prince at that time was watching the Dave Chappelle show, them satirizing Prince. And he walked in saying, I don't want to see a man who wears blouses and heels. And he heard Morris Day and the Time open for them. And they began to sing the song Gigolos Get Lonely Too. And he recognized that song from a sample. Mm-hmm. And then Prince came on and my son was in awe. And when the concert was over, he said, Mom, can we play this song as we're driving home? or the time I took him to see Branford Marsalis.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Here on campus.
Wow.
With the Lincoln Center Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, he didn't want to go. He was 17 he was 17 at the time. He wore a shirt and tie, and he kind of pouted, and I don't want to go. And he enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
And the next day, the first thing he said to me in the morning when he woke up, he came to my room and he said, thank you. I appreciated that.
Wow.
That's our job now.
That's our job.
That is our job.
Absolutely.
To educate the youth.
Absolutely.
With the significance. Now, you know, mumble rap, I'm going to call it what it is.
Yeah.
You know, all of that has a place.
Yes, it does. It does.
But to be a fully rounded musician or a fully aware musical enthusiast,
yes,
you need to have some sort of foundation.
Absolutely.
And that's what this is.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's what this is.
Speaking of rap, my son, Titus Foster, I'm going to throw his name out there because he's rapping locally and really gaining a following right now. People are digging his style.
Oh, yeah.
But I told him, I said, if you want to be a good rapper, listen to The Last Poets.
Yes.
Go back.
Yes.
Go back. These strong black men that got together and created this poetry and rhymed it like nobody's business.
Yes.
You know, that's an art. That's a gift.
An art.
That's a gift. Yeah. Not everybody can just get up and just quote poetry and rhyme it like that.
Yes.
And so
Omdi Hamilton of the Watts Prophets, up until a few months ago, lived right here in this community.
Wow.
So, I mean, we had the rich culture of, they were considered the fathers of rap music.
Absolutely.
And that came out of healing from the Watts riots in 1965. That's
absolutely
where Watts Prophets came from.
Mm.
So, you know, I had all these grandiose plans and ideas of where we were to go with this conversation. We have 13 minutes left, and we haven't even touched on jazz and blues, really. But, I mean, this is a rich conversation.
It's so awesome, and it's so needed.
Yes.
I look at, I too have a son. He's, oh gosh, almost 20, doing the rap thing, Joshua Anderson. And it's interesting. He's down in the Bay Area, and he's already set apart. But sometimes it's hard to be a musician when your message and your music is different, because you want to be like the rest of them.
Mm.
And so I'm just, you know, I'm trying to guide him mentally to go back to what his original, because the message he used to have was so needed.
Mm. Yes.
You know.
Mm. Yes, yes.
So
yes.
Interesting.
So there's a jazz song that is my all-time favorite jazz song, because it sings about the pure, innocent yearning of love.
Yes.
There I go, there I go, there I go. Pretty little baby, you are the soul that sparks my control. Do you know Moody's Mood for Love?
I know the song. I don't know it.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
That's one of my favorites. I love it.
What a great song.
Beautiful. So,
do you know the lyrics?
I don't. There I go, there I go.
It's
there
I James go, Moody. Baby, the soul that snaps like my control. Such a funny little thing, but every time you're near me, I never can behave. You give me a smile and then I am not a singer.
Oh,
but
you're doing terrific.
But it's King Pleasure on lyrics.
Yeah.
And James Moody on saxophone.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And it is just the absolute, even King Pleasure's singing style is a musical instrument. You give me a smile and then I'm wrapped up in your magic, music all around me. And that's scatting.
Absolutely. So, that's kind of my experience coming up here doing gospel.
Yes.
And then being asked to do jazz. This is my first time doing jazz now. I've been doing it for 3 years.
What?
Had never sang jazz before.
What?
You know, thanks to Tim Randles, Mike LeBole, Kenny Lawrence, Don Baraka, these cats called me in and said, girl, you can do it. And now we're doing it. And we'll be doing it this Saturday at the Griffin from 8 to 10.
Okay.
Wow.
So if you
want to
hear live jazz, you know, you can come out and check us out.
So why don't you give us a little...
Can we have a little bit of...
Sure. So if our engineer Michael can give us track 3. This is...
The Paula Jones Band.
And this is timely... For the holiday we...
My funny Valentine.
Yes, from yesterday. Absolutely beautiful.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Doesn't sound like someone who's been singing at jazz music for 3 years.
Thank you.
I'm glad our community brought it out of you.
Thank you so much.
So I can't scat. Sarah Vaughn can scat. Ella Fitzgerald can scat. Al Jarreau can scat.
Yeah.
Let's talk about scatting a little bit and the beauty of scatting.
I believe the beauty of scatting is that there's no restraint. There's absolutely, you're off on a tangent. Mm-hmm. You are not anticipating anything. It comes and it goes and it flows. And there are those that are so good at it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ella Fitzgerald, the absolute queen mm-hmm. of scatting. Sarah Vaughn, mm-hmm. scatter. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can do it.
Yeah.
Al Jarreau, absolutely.
Bobby McFerrin.
Bobby McFerrin.
John Hendricks, who just passed away in November of last year, he has an album. He had an album out called John Hendricks and Friends. Mm-hmm. And he does a vocalese, which is another version of scatting, where you vocalize an instrument. So where patat, 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 that's the drum. Okay. Or ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba is a trumpet.
Nice.
And he called together friends to have a vocalese rendition of Miles Davis's Freddie Freeloader.
Wow.
So you had one artist who was Wayne Shorter. Mm-hmm. Al Jarreau was the trumpet, and Jan from Manhattan Transfer.
No.
She was another instrument. And
amazing.
Each musician takes a different instrument and vocalizes an instrument, and it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song.
Oh,
yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
That's a gift.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Just to be able to sing is amazing, but to be able to transpose your voice and make it sound like an instrument.
Absolutely.
There are quite a few local people that were doing that.
Yes.
And it's a great thing.
And the likes of, in terms of contemporary music, you have the likes of Layla Hathaway, who is R&B music royalty in my book.
Yes.
She is the daughter of musical legend with
Donnie.
A short musical lifespan, Donnie Hathaway.
Absolutely.
And she is one of the gifted artists who can sing chords. Now, if you're a musician, you sing one note, she sings two, in the similar style of like a Tuvan throat singer, where you hear two sounds coming
amazing.
From one being.
That is amazing.
That's amazing.
Yes.
That's absolutely amazing. And of course, you got to bring up Jill Scott.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you got to bring up Erykah Badu.
Yes.
These girls are, they're way ahead of their time.
Oh, yeah.
Solange Knowles.
Who doesn't like get the recognition?
Yes,
I'd love to listen to more of her.
Yes. And then there are artists by the name of Roe James, who is the godson of one of the, I can't remember the singer, but a famous gospel singer.
Mm-hmm.
And he sings beautiful music. You have the likes of Leon Bridges, who is under 30, and he is channeling Sam Cooke.
Wow.
So, I mean, you have newcomers musically in the black music world. I mean, just, we grew up R&B music, rhythm and blues. R&B has grown and morphed into so many other things. You have alternative R&B now.
Yes.
Or there are different names for R&B, and you can't really put a label on it.
You really can't. I'm trying to think of the new artist out. It's just one word. He's from South Africa, and he's doing some stuff that is... Michael Jackson was one of his great, he's a protege of Michael Jackson.
Hmm, from South Africa.
Yeah, really, really great kid, and he's cutting it up. He's doing the hip-hop, but it just, we have great teachers like Donny Hathaway, what you were talking about. You have to bring up Prince. You have to speak Michael Jackson.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Michael Jackson just turned everything upside down.
Yes, he did.
You know, the king of pop and fantastic composer. And these kids listened to that, and then they tweaked it and changed it mm-hmm. into this new hip-hop mm-hmm. that you just have to move when you hear it.
I got a name for you. Aretha.
Ooh, Lord have mercy.
So can you play a little? Oh. Do you know any Aretha?
Oh.
Respect.
Can you feel the spirit? Mm-mm. I'm feeling it in the dark. Can you feel the spirit? I'm feeling it in the dark. You know it's gonna move you. Oh, Lord, it's gonna groove you. I said I feel the spirit, yeah. Spirit in the dark. I know y'all know what I'm talking about. I said I feel the spirit, yeah, yeah. Spirit in the dark, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's gonna move ya, oh. And you know it's gonna groove ya. I feel the spirit, Lord have mercy. I'm feeling it in the dark.
I think that's a great place to end our program.
All right, Paula.
Thank you.
I love you.
You know, I hate that we didn't have 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, this was wonderful. And
this was great. Thank you.
Guess what? There's a thing called Black Music Month.
Uh-oh.
It's in June.
Uh-oh.
So I would love to invite both of you back.
Oh.
To celebrate Black Music Month in the same way that we did tonight. Is it a date?
It's a date.
I'd love to be here.
Thank you.
Man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being you, Lorna. Yes.
Thank you for being you, both of you. Thank you. This has been a beautiful experience. The richness, the beauty of our culture musically. Can't fit it all into just 1 hour. I'd like to thank you, Paula, for joining me this evening.
Thank you, Paula Jones
on vocals and Letty Dyer on keyboard and vocals. Thank you both for joining me. What are you playing now, Letty?
Just one of my originals.
Carry on.
Classical.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful. Wow. The music has said it all. There's not much else to say except thank you for joining me this evening. Thank you for joining Thursday Night Talk, The Race Beat. Thank you to our engineer, Michael Racaforte, our producer, Geraldine Goldberg, and you, the KHSU listener. Thank you for this evening.
You've been listening to Thursday Night Talk on KHSU. Thank you to our host, Lorna Bryant, and to our guests this evening, Paula Jones and Letty Dyer. Give it up. We love to get feedback on our programs. Please email ThursdayNightTalk@khsu.org and like our Facebook page, Thursday Night Talk on KHSU. Next week on Thursday Night Talk, Kevin Hoover, and HSU's group We Are Your Community explore the effort to build bridges between students of color and the local community. In addition, Kevin will recap the previous night's Arcata Plaza-focused City Council meeting. Tune in next week on February 22nd at 7. Thanks to KHSU Thursday Night Talk producer Geraldine Goldberg. Our theme music is composed and performed by Jeff Kreider. My name is Michael. I've been your studio engineer tonight. It's 8 o'clock. Stay tuned to KHSU. No Room for Squares is coming up next.